A man who travels frequently to Liberia caused a stir yesterday when he arrived at a Braintree clinic with Ebola-like symptoms. Doctors and public health officials say the man is not considered at high risk for the often deadly virus, but his case gave us the first public look at how nurses, EMTs, hospital staff, and others here have prepared to respond when there is an Ebola alert. Joining us with an overview of all this is WBUR's Martha Biebinger. Good Monday morning, Martha. Thanks for coming in.
Good Monday morning to you, Bob.
So tell us how this man, who has not yet been identified, became the focus of police escorts, news conferences, and numerous statements yesterday.
Bob, the man called his primary care practice, Harvard Vanguard in Braintree, yesterday morning, complaining of a headache, muscle ache, and some other problems. He was given an appointment in the afternoon, but in the meantime, he went to the Harvard Vanguard pharmacy to pick up a prescription for something else and then left. After that first call, Harvard Vanguard retrieved his medical records, noticed that the man traveled frequently to Liberia. They called and intercepted him, in their words, as he was coming back in for that afternoon appointment. They asked him to wait in his car while they called for an ambulance. The Harvard Vanguard office was closed for a period of time while all of this was taking place. Patients were disrupted and such. They had to disinfect surfaces in the pharmacy they believe he touched, and then they finally reopened.
So the man waited cooperatively, we're told, in his car, sort of self-quarantine until an ambulance arrived. What kind of precautions were in place there?
Well, it was Brewster Ambulance who arrived. They had completed their Ebola response training about a week ago. Brewster's director of training, Jeff Jacobson, says the company was on the scene in 15 minutes with two ambulances, one that had been sealed inside, so all of the interior surfaces covered with plastic, and three EMTs wearing hazardous materials responded as well.
Once the patient is removed from the ambulance and into the hospital, two more folks get into the Level B suits and remove all the plastic. It's put into sealed containers, and then the truck is disinfected through the Centers for Disease Control's recommendations.
And then, Bob, in all, Jacobson estimates there were about 40 responders, including police, firefighters, local public health officials, and then Harvard Vanguard personnel.
40 responders. Wow. Were all of them trained in Ebola safety practices? Do we know?
Well, I heard yes and no. Only people who come in contact with the patient or his body fluids really need to wear the gloves and protective gear. But I also heard, Bob, that there was a call yesterday after this incident on which some of the participants felt that the response was too much, and others thought it was the maximum effort, which was warranted because this was one of the first times we've seen this. So I think that that response is a little bit in flux.
All right. The ambulance took the patient to Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, where I imagine there were a few nervous staff members, considering that earlier yesterday, the Centers for Disease Control confirmed that a nurse who treated a man who died from Ebola in Dallas came down herself with the virus.
Well, yes, Bob, we did get word of that first case transmitted within the U.S. yesterday. But Dr. Kenneth Sands, he's the chief quality officer at Beth Israel Deaconess, said the staff there were ready to deal with Ebola. Sand said the Braintree patient was placed in a special unit with a barrier, a separate ventilation system, and also, Bob, safety features for doctors and nurses.
We felt very good about our plan despite the results from Dallas, so we are implementing the plan that we had in place for a couple of months, and we feel comfortable that it is working in a way that protects our patients and our staff.
All right, so here we are this morning. The man remains in isolation at Beth Israel Deaconess. Have doctors there and public health officials determined that he's not at high risk for Ebola?
Yes, doctors at Beth Israel Deaconess have not explained why they reached that conclusion, but there are clues, Bob, from Harvard Vanguard. Remember, that's where the man checked in earlier yesterday. Dr. Ben Kruskal, who's chief of infectious disease at Harvard Vanguard, says while the man had the headache and muscle aches that he called to tell doctors about, which could be early signs of Ebola, he did not mention a high fever, vomiting, or diarrhea.
He lacks all of the more typical symptoms, and the time frame from his return to Liberia to now is on the rather long side of the incubation period for Ebola.
Bob, it's been about 2 weeks since the man returned from Liberia, which is apparently a little late for these early signs of infection to emerge.
All right, let me ask you this question. We have not had then any confirmed cases of Ebola in Massachusetts, but if someone does suspect they have the virus, what should they do?
Well, it's interesting, Bob. The CDC website still says seek medical attention immediately, but don't go anyplace besides a healthcare facility. Now, though, some local doctors seem to be revising that guidance. Harvard Vanguard's Dr. Kruskal, who we just heard from, says if you think you have Ebola, make your first move from home by calling your doctor or hospital.
A lot of people are feeling anxious, and if anybody actually did have Ebola, rushing into the hospital without stopping to figure out the right way to do it would, in fact, not be a particularly helpful thing. It would end up probably exposing a lot of people needlessly.
So the advice about Ebola is being refined as officials review treatment of suspected cases. There have been a number of them already in Boston, this one being the most public, Bob. None, as you said earlier, are confirmed, and we hope it continues that way.
Agreed. WBUR's Martha Biebinger, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.